Okay, Steve Palmer here, Lawyer Talk Podcast. If this looks familiar, it's because I just recorded a video called on What's the Appeal, our ongoing segment about the appellate and post-conviction process, about hidden costs, and sometimes transcripts cost a lot of money, and I'm dealing with that right now. Immediately after finishing, our head of production, Brett from Circle 270 Media, had a question, and he's like, how accurate are transcripts? Because I was talking about transcripts in general. So you have the court reporter up front of the courtroom taking down everything, and then we have the other types that we get, which is audio, video. And it's a great question. And the answer is really, really, really accurate most of the time. There was a few times, let's talk about the good. It always is amazing to me that a court reporter using the stenography machine and using their skills that they've learned can take down in real time what people are saying. And by real time, I mean they have this real time transcription now where it shows up in real time. Now, it doesn't mean it's perfect the first time. The court reporters often will go back and edit some of the I think they some even do it nightly or after the breaks. They'll go back and edit things. And we always the things that they might get wrong might be names. And we always try in advance of trial to hand a list of witnesses to the court reporter. So the court reporter knows the spellings of the names. If there's places, they know the spellings of the places. That way, that gets accurate. But I got to tell you, I have been infinitely impressed over the span of my career when I first started practicing law and doing trial work and appellate work, reading a transcript and think, good grief, how do they do this? And how can it be so accurate? Hats off to you folks who do it because you do it well. And it's almost always as perfect as it can be. Nothing is perfect, but this is as perfect as it can be 99.9% of the time. There are times, though, when it's not so perfect. And what do we do about that? I have a very good friend. Went to college with him, and now he's a prosecutor up in New York. And he told me about a situation, I think, where he was on the prosecutor side working on an appeal. And it turns out the court reporter was either drunk or high or in the throes of an opioid addiction or something. And the transcript was a disaster. Lots of it just didn't exist. The stuff that did exist was nonsensical. And they were on the quintessential horns of a dilemma. What do they do about it? The rules give us some leeway, and the courts of appeals over the years have dealt with this. There's a couple options. The parties can sort of get together and agree, hey, look, this is what happened at trial, and we're just going to create our own record. There's probably a time in our history where that's what happened, where we didn't always have the technology that we have today. People sitting in a courtroom probably taking notes, you didn't have good records of what happened in court. You had people's memories at times. You had people jotting down notes in shorthand. So we've spoiled in the modern age with our technology. But they had to go back to the drawing board and figure out a way to get a record together. If it's impossible to get a record together, or if you can't agree, courts ultimately would decide, or maybe the defendant, if he's going to get a fair trial or a fair appeal, rather, they got to do it again. They got to have a retrial. Now, there's other situations I've had where the record itself is by agreement. I've even short-circuited the whole process of trial and drafted up a memorandum of agreement with the prosecutor and said, we all agree that if we go to trial, this will be the evidence. And we did this specifically in Ohio on an OVI case. The defense will have an expert that would say that breath test machines are generally unreliable and the power supplies are defective. Henry's law isn't right. They're subject to or fallacy like any other machine, yada, yada, yada. That's a whole different topic. I'm not going into it. And we agreed that the judge would exclude that evidence because in Ohio, under State versus Vega, we're not allowed to present it. So we just created a record, and defendant was found guilty of a per se OVI, meaning driving with a prohibited alcohol concentration in her breath. And we went right up the Court of Appeals ladder. It didn't matter, in other words, in that case, exactly what the witnesses would say, because we had targeted the actual issue that we knew was going to emerge. So we actually agreed on the record. There are other things you can do later on, like supplement the record. If I get a transcript and I think, wait a minute, this isn't right, I can file a motion to supplement or correct the record, and the courts can figure it out. But back to Brett's question, it is remarkable how accurate almost all the time trial court transcripts are in this day and age. I appreciate that I am spoiled, and there was a time when it wasn't always like that. probably even in my father's lifetime, there was a time when it wasn't always like that, but it is now. And that means that we always have a good record of appeal. That's not to say that I haven't had clients who say that's nonsense. That's not what happened. That's not what was said. But I think sometimes, you know, we have our own confirmation bias. I've even read transcripts later and I thought, boy, did I really sound that bad when I was talking in a courtroom? Yes, I did. There's a lot of ums, ahs, stutters, and stops. And I'll tell a quick war story, or not even a war story, but Jerry Spence, he's a famous criminal defense lawyer. He's got the Spence College of Trial, whatever. He wrote a book on how to win an argument every time or something along those lines. And I think it was in this book. And he tells this story about how he felt like he gave a great closing argument, or maybe I'll put it this way. His best closing arguments that people have in real time told him, phenomenal closing argument, Mr. Spence, you really nailed it, out of the ballpark. And then he gets the transcripts and reads it, and it reads horribly. And it's sort of interesting. It doesn't mean that the court reporter got it wrong. What it means is, we're off on a tangent, but that's okay. What it means is you don't have to be Bill Clinton or Barack Obama or Abraham Lincoln in order to be a persuasive advocate. Genuineness is really what counts. And we all talk and stutter and stammer and use the wrong words at different times. And I think early on in our careers as lawyers or even as public speakers, we worry too much about that. And the more you worry about it, the more it happens. And then you read your transcript and it gets worse and worse and worse. The point is to overcome all that, speak from the heart, deliver the message. And it doesn't matter how bad you sound on the transcript. It matters how well you conveyed your message in a courtroom or from the podium or lectern, whatever the situation is. So anyway, Lawyer Talk Podcast, What's the Appeal? Dealing with a question. So sort of a Q&A, What's the Appeal? Check us out, lawyertalkpodcast.com. You need help with your appeal, palmerlegaldefense.com. Coming at you each and every week, off the record, on the air, till now. Question there. Leave a question in the comments or just leave a comment. I love to read and I love to engage. Until next time, this is Lawyer Talk. What's the Appeal? Off the record, on the air. By the way, we're sponsored by Circle 270 Media. Phenomenal. If you've got a podcast that you want, if you're in the Central Ohio area, even nationally, great podcast consultant, check out Circle 270 Media. Brett over there will take care of you.